Please don't check out on this message. Look at Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, there are no perfect parents. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There was only one perfect parent, and that was God the Father. And look how his two children turned out in the Garden of Eden. All right, so it's not easy. Now, this is a proverb. This is not a promise. A lot of people say it's a promise. No, proverbs are a general principle applied generally over a long period of time, and it gives you generally consistent results. Basically, it's a proverb is a short sentence based on long experience. But the thing about children is the Bible says in Psalm 127 and verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb, hi, Bubba, fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. You know, each arrow, if you're a bow hunter, you've got different arrows. You've got practice arrows. You've got ones with razor tips. You've got some for fishing. You've got some that are made for small game. Each one of them, you have to practice releasing. And a child is like an arrow. Throughout their life, you got to practice letting them go. And it's all in the release. But even then, outside forces like wind and something as insignificant as a leaf can knock an arrow off course. But it requires practice. But you got to aim with an arrow. And it's the same thing with children. If you aim at nothing with your kids, you will hit it every single time. You've got to aim. I don't really have goals for my kids as much as I have desires. You know, the only person I can control is me. I don't know if you realize that or not. The only person you can control is you. So I try to have desires, hopes. But to hold them to a standard of goals is not very wise. Now, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. Now, the thing is, that word train means that you need to train your children in the way that's right rather than the way they think is right. I want you to catch that. When you train up your children, you need to train up your children in the way God says is right, not the way your child thinks is right. Children are born with a sin nature. That means they have a bias toward evil automatically right out of the womb. Do you realize that when your baby was born, you didn't know whether they were going to be tall or short one day. You don't know whether they're going to be weak or strong, but you can be dead sure they're going to have a sinful heart, a sinful nature, and have a bias toward evil. I'm going to shut this for a quick. Hush. Amen. They're good kids and I love them. Now, you know, I heard a preacher say that a child's heart is kind of like the dirt you and I walk on. If you leave it to itself, it'll grow weeds. And it's the same thing. We have got to be the ones who pick how to train our kids. We cannot leave it up to our kids. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know, those kids need to see us modeling the target we're aiming them at. And sometimes you got to think for them. You got to judge for them. You've got to act for them, just like you would a weak or a blind child. Every kid needs us to do that. And they need to see our good example. In every aspect of training, they've got to see our good example, not our bad example. So anytime we have double standards, anytime it's do as I say and not as I do, we provoke our children to wrath. We make them mad. I mean, everything from smoking to drinking to gluttony to binge watching TV, our bad example is what our kids typically tend to gravitate toward in who they become. They don't know what is good. That's why you have to train them in the way that's right. They no more know what's good for them than they know what's good to eat. If my kids were left to themselves, they'd eat Cheerios and mac and cheese three meals a day. And we have to pick for them. We have to help them. We cannot, if we're going to train them and not leave them themselves, we cannot indulge their whims. We got to be consistent in the way we train them that is scripturally right rather than the way of their fancies. Well, I had a lady tell me, well, I don't want to stifle my child's creativity. Well, my son wants to play with my shotgun, my chainsaw, and drive my truck. Shall I continue to restrict his creativity or send him to your house? I mean, seriously, they don't know what's good for them, and that's why we as parents have to train them in what's good. We cannot indulge their whims. And I always told young families when we were working in the young marriage, Miss Mix and I would always say, take heed to this. Otherwise, save money for a lawyer and a grave plot. Because in Deuteronomy 15:16, the Bible says that thy days may be prolonged. Proverbs 3:1-2, my son, forget not my law, but let mine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So when we're training children, we need to train them. We need to be the one picking what's right, not them. Number two, we need to train them with love, tenderness, patience, and affection. Because it's not about spoiling them, it's about capturing their heart and keeping their heart. If you ever ask yourself, how is it that lost folks can raise kids that grow up and are not rebellious and don't ruin their life? Because if you'll get a kid's heart and hang on to it and keep it, you'll raise good kids. It's about getting their heart. The Bible says, my son, give me thine heart. The Bible also says, guard your heart. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. As we train our kids, we need to train them in love, with tenderness and affection. Because every time they wake up in the morning, especially those that are of school age, as they leave your house, the world cuts the string between your heart and theirs. Have you ever played that game with two solo cups and a piece of string, and you can talk through one end and hear throughout the other end? And every day your kid's heart gets cut, that string. And you have to retie it every evening before they go to bed. And every morning when they get up in the morning. And that love that you have for them should be that silver thread. In Galatians 5:22, it says that we're to train them with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We also need to train them with a readiness to hear their troubles and a readiness to join in with their fun. That's what ties the cords from their heart to ours. And they need to see that we love them and want what's good for them. And when you punish them, they need to know that it was for their good. You need to hug them and let them know you forgive them and absolve the guilt. But they got to be trained in what's right and trained in love. And we can't expect things to happen all at once with kids. I've learned this with mine. My child's heart's kind of like a skinny neck bottle. I have to deliberately pour in slowly wisdom and training as they're able to take it. And I've got some of my boys were really quick to grab onto things and some were really slow. Just like every arrow's different, every child is different. We have to deliberately do this. Now, the Bible says, well, when do you do that? When do you start teaching them? The Bible says in Isaiah 28, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. You know, a whetstone sharpens an axe, but it takes a lot of strokes, a lot of contact, and because it works slowly, but over time it makes a very sharp edge. So patient, consistent love is the secret to training, because anger and harshness may frighten them, but it won't make them respect you nor obey you. The Bible says in Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. Number three, we need to train up our children in the way they should go, knowing that it's going to be up to us to take the initiative. Every parenting book I've ever read started with like the 2/3 of it was about how to train me, not really train them. Have anybody else ever seen that? Train up a child. Well, it starts with training me. Children become what we train them to be, or they train themselves. They're kind of like moist clay. If you leave it alone, it's just going to flatten out and make no shape. It has to be molded. I think there are very few bad kids in this world. I think mostly it's bad training. And they become what we fail to train them to be. Because the truth is, all of us are sinners. And we have a tendency to have a bias toward evil. You ever wonder how little tyrants at the store got to be little tyrants? Man, it got quiet in here. We got to discipline ourselves to take advantage of every opportunity. This command came from God, and it's going to take you as a parent to receive grace from God to fulfill it. You cannot, listen, you need God's grace. So train them, and train them some more, because obedience on your part always precedes blessings. Number four, we need to train up children the way they should go, knowing that their soul is the most important thing. That little baby is given to you by God, and it has an eternal soul. So if we only train our children about this life and the things of this life, that's cruel. To make them, and people say, well, I'm going to let them grow up and then let them decide. Well, you didn't let them decide whether they're going to go to school. You didn't let them decide whether they're going to brush their teeth or go to the dentist or go to the doctor. You didn't let them decide whether they're going to play in the street. Why would you let them grow up and then what? Have no training when it comes to eternity? There is a God we are morally accountable to. We need to train our children that. Just because everybody else is doing it does not make it right. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I think hell's full of good kids that were trained mostly to care about this life rather than the one that's coming. And the Bible says in Matthew 11, 19, hold on a second. My parents didn't agree with the way we were training our kids, having them in church all the time. Yours probably won't either. My parents did not appreciate the fact that I spanked my kids. But I never got a whooping I didn't need or didn't come back and appreciate later. Wisdom is justified of their children. They're your kids. You have to be the one who picks how they get trained. Train up a child in the knowledge of the Bible. Do you know that God took his word and elevated above his name? We need to train our kids to love the Bible. I can't make them love the Bible, but only God can give them a hunger for it. But I need them to see that the Bible's authority is the final authority because I think it's the final authority. They need to see that I follow it. 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. We need to train our kids this Bible is not a fairy tale, but it's the truth. We need to train them daily. We need to train them to read it daily, to read it all, even the stuff that's a little boring. We need to train them on what sin is and how to avoid it because they see us avoiding sin. They need to see us reading our Bible. They need to see us reading it every day. We need to train them on who Jesus is, his deity, his holiness, his sacrifice, his resurrection, his ascension, and his current ministry of interceding for us. You need to train your kids about the Trinity, that God the Father who is sovereign and the Son who is obedient to the Father and the working of the Holy Spirit in their life today. You need to fill their minds with Scripture and live it in front of them. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that of a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. They need to see it in us. That's how we train them. We tell them, but they also see it, and they see it. Train up your children in the habit of prayer. Prayer is the life breath of a Christian. You know, it's the mark of real Christians. It's also the turning point in your life when you get a hold of the power of prayer. It'll change you. Your kids need to see you pray. Your kids need to see you lead them in prayer. You need to be the ones leading out at dinner and at bedtime. Make that part of your routine every night before they go down. Let's pray. Let's thank God for the day. Let's pray. Who do you want to pray for? Let's pray for them. And pray right alongside them. Prayer is the best weapon those kids will ever have in difficulty when they grow up. It's the surest remedy in trouble, and it's the key that unlocks the blessings of God. You have not because you ask not, the Bible says, and we need to train our kids in prayer. And we need to train them by our example. Don't leave it to your Sunday school teacher or your pastor. Did you know that your kids are going to get more out of your example than they are my sermons? They're going to get a whole lot more out of your example. So we need to train up our children also in going to church faithfully. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us, or 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Coming to church is a tangible way we serve and worship our Father, and He's worthy of our obedience. And while you're here, you need to fulfill the purpose of the church, which is to encourage one another to love and good works. Your kids need to see that by watching you. Well, I really didn't like worship today, Brother Mix. Well, I'm sorry, but we weren't worshiping you. So it's really not about that. It's about, was the Father worthy? Yes. Train them not to make excuses for missing church. When I planted that church in Little Rock, I was bivocational. Pastor can't miss three services a week, but I had 50, 60 hours a week at work, and I had deadlines, and I had quotas to beat, and sales targets to meet, and people I had to go after. You know, the truth is, it's usually not a timing issue. It's a want-to issue when it comes to church. And the truth is, if you have something that's due tomorrow on your boss's desk by 11, you'll stay up tonight and do it. So does your little kid. They need to learn to power through. My son will tell me, well, I got to go home, Daddy. I got homework. Well, what'd you do Friday night? What'd you do Friday night? What'd you do Saturday morning? Well, I slept. Okay, that's a problem. You should have got up and done your homework. Because if I got homework due on the boss's desk at 8 a.m., I'll be up early Saturday. I'll be Sunday afternoon. So will you. Train your kids to be faithful to church. Don't let them make excuses. It's our duty and our privilege to be here. Treat them how to behave here. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16 that this is the house of God, that you ought to know how to behave in the house of God. Train them to drink and use the restroom between services. You need to train them. They can watch a three-hour movie. They can play Xbox for hours and hours and hours. But the minute you call them to take out the trash, they got to go pee. Right? Let's get them in the bathroom before and after. Train them to participate in the worship. In Exodus 10:9, Moses said, "We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord." Train your kids to sing because you sing. Train them to take notes. Train them to ask questions afterwards. Train your children to have pastors and missionaries as their heroes. The Bible says in Acts 21:5 that when Paul had accomplished his ministry, he and his team were departing, and that all of the wives and the children and the men walked with them out of the city to see them off. Train them to serve even though they're not saved yet. In 1 Samuel 3:1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. You know, the crazy thing is, the apostles were expected to just trust Jesus' word that they would understand later. Do you remember that? In John chapter 12 and verse 16. So we're to train up our children in faith. Benny. Why don't you go in there and sit with them? All right? That'd be fine. Train up your children in faith. You know, they're never going to learn to trust what God says if they can't trust what you say. That's what it says, anyway. "He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness speaketh the truth in his heart. He that honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt." You know, our kids come to us naturally with the unbelief. It was unbelief that made Eve fall in the garden. It was unbelief that made Israel stay out of the promised land another 40 years. It was unbelief that made those that heard the prophets read every week crucify Christ. And Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Our children got to see that we're grown up in this area. They've got to learn to trust our word. Otherwise, they're never going to learn to trust God's word. So our example to them, by us trusting God's word by faith and living by faith and walking by faith, is going to teach them more than a sermon. You need to train up our children in obedience. They got to learn to obey you at any cost. If you lose this battle, you will lose their soul. They have got to learn to obey you. There's no reasoning, there's no arguing, there's no disputing, because partial obedience is not obedience. Delayed obedience is not obedience. And obedience with a bad attitude is not obedience. You understand, your faith is the true test of your walk with God. Because Jesus said, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. Your obedience will speak louder than any message in Sunday school or junior church or Awana. Your example. Children learn more by seeing than reading. It's caught more than taught. There's no school or sports activity or vacation that will mark their character as much as their home life will. Jesus obeyed his parents, Luke 2:51, because the Bible does not advocate for a child-centered home, but a Christ-centered home. Train up your child to always speak the truth. Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another. Call them on exaggerations and omissions, because the truth will one day protect them. Mark Twain said, you never have to remember what you said if you always said the truth. Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. The truth will prepare them. The truth will preserve them. And the truth will make them a success in life if they know how to be honest. We have to train them to be truthful. We need to train our children in the habit of redeeming the time. Idleness. Have you ever heard, my mom always said, the idle hands were the devil's workshop. That's what my mother always said. Idleness really is the devil's best friend. It was idleness that was the chief cause that led to Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction. They were idle, and they went to playing to sin. Ezekiel 16:49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. How did they get into that mess of sodomy and that type of sin? They were idle. David, his idleness led him to sin by stealing Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. He was supposed to be out to battle, and he was home being idle. We need to train our children with a constant fear of overindulging them. We've got to be on guard all the time, because it's a natural tendency for us to be affectionate to our children. But if we let that blind us to their faults, I mean, listen, I hate whooping my kids. I hate disciplining them. Nothing's more unpleasant than causing discomfort to the ones we love. But don't let your heart be paralyzed from that, because your child's sin nature is foolishness. And if we spoil our kids by letting them have their way all the time, if we never correct them for what they're doing, if we let their whims get the best of them, either we got to teach them or the court system will. What? I've preached at Otero County Juvenile Correctional Facility, where children come in who cannot behave, who cannot sit still, get strapped face down to a 6-inch wide board for 3 hours until they learn they cannot play like that. They cannot kick guards. They cannot hit them. They cannot spit at guards. They cannot do these things. They will behave themselves. Now, you can either teach them at home, or Fairfax County will. I've buried them young and I've buried them old. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, I'm not talking about walking in the room, ripping them off the ground, misaligning their spine, and beating them. That's a bully. You are a bully. But if you calmly explain what's going on and deal out the punishment calmly without anger, and then love on them, hug them, and pray with them afterwards, you're going to find it works. Proverbs 19:10, chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. We cannot indulge our children's bad behaviors. Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Do not negotiate with the little terrorists. I remember when my kids would throw a fit, and they'd throw on and drop on the ground, and Sarah and I'd look at each other and just step over them and keep walking. And then they'd run up and throw themselves back on the ground. And after they do it a couple of times on the concrete, they realize that doesn't work. But inconsistency is how we provoke our children. You know, just because my kids are older, I have been revisiting this because I have not done all the things I should have done. I haven't. I haven't been consistent in some of these areas. And it's brought negative results. None of us are perfect. We're just trying to help each other. But the truth is, we can't ignore it. We've got to take care of our kids like this. I think the world is full of discouraged Christian kids. They're discouraged from believing God, and they're discouraged from serving God. So we cannot indulge their whims just because we feel guilty that we weren't there. I know the first 10 years, my wife is such a gem. She's the one who was the primary disciplinarian because I was never home. I just never home, never there. She took care of training those kids, and any good that's come out of it is the blessing from her because she was consistent. You know, it's the last 10 years when they get about this high. Dads, you really got to be there. You have got to. You need to be there the whole time, but we cannot indulge their whims just because we feel guilty. I know I have felt guilty for years because I've let things go. David was an indulgent parent. 1 Kings 1:6, and his father, David, had not displeased him in any time in saying, "Why hast thou done so?" That was David's parenting. He never called his kids on the carpet for anything. And Amnon raped his sister. Absalom murdered Amnon and then stole the kingdom from his father. And then Adonijah tried to scheme and take the kingdom while David was on his deathbed. But at no time, the Bible says, at no time did David ever do anything that displeased his kids and asking them, why are you acting that way? Why are you doing that? Your children don't know what's best for them. And when we indulge our kids, we make them an idol. And God will remove them. That's a scary thought. But at some point, I've got to realize it's my duty as a parent. Well, it's just the small thing. It's just Brother Jim, it's just a small little disobedience. It's just a small little, you know, it's cute when they're four. It will not be cute when they're 14. When they're 14 and they're shoving you around in the kitchen, you will remember. We missed something. Have you ever heard them say, my mom always said, give them an inch, they'll take a mile. Yeah. And I don't know how many homes have been broken up because of kids that have been out of control. Train up a child to respond properly to God's correction by responding properly to yours. Our children learn to respond properly to God's correction in life because we taught them that we love them and that He loves them. And because He loves them and we love them, we correct them. And as an adult, how we respond to God's correction really affects our life and our family. And our children need to learn to respond properly because we do. We need to train our children to repair every relationship that gets broke. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we blow it, we need to be telling God we're sorry. And it's okay for our kids to hear us pray and say, God, you know, I really messed up today. God, I had a problem. I didn't follow through on this today. God, I'm sorry. And when they mess up, they need to be the one that says, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I was wrong. They need to say that. You've got to train them. Because as an adult, that's what we do when we want to make it right with the Lord. Because our kids are just on loan from God. They're just on loan. And one of these days, they will walk out of our house and they will be answerable to God. And all they'll have is how we trained them. And you know, the thing is, it's never too late. I know adults who have had really strained relationships with their parents, and they still hold out hope that those relationships can be resolved. Even today, I talked to a lady today who's in her 60s who wants that relationship resolved with her mother. So I think to myself, you know, I haven't done everything right in the last 30 years. But I can get back on the horse today. And I can start building the relationship with my kids and be consistent. Because a change in me will speak louder to them than a change in procedure at the house and a change in rules. But one day, we're going to give them back to the Lord. He's going to ask us, what did we do with them? How did we train them? Did we show them where their gifts and talents were? Did they show them how to utilize them? Did we train them in utilizing their gifts and talents? Will God get a return on his investment because of our training? The Bible says that we are the stewards. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful and that the children are our heritage. So we've got to start now. Now, for those of you whose kids are grown, you can be godly grandparents. I know it's not the same anymore. You can't meddle. I understand that. But you know what? It's not too late. That means when somebody's disciplining their child around here, don't go, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. My mother used to do that. And I used to say, Mom, your car's in the drive. You can go home whenever you want to. Because why? Because I'll answer for my kid. You'll answer for yours. But if you're a grandparent, or maybe you don't have kids here, be a godly example. Encourage them to do right. Encourage them with a soft voice and love. Encourage them to sit still and listen. Encourage them. And encourage those parents. Maybe things didn't go well today. Tomorrow's going to be a new day. We'll start again tomorrow. Yes, we will. Start again tomorrow. And then pray one for another. It's gotten harder, I think. We need to pray. Our Father and our God, we love you. Your word is still true, and your word will endure forever. And Father, whether we have missed a few steps in our training, or Father, whether we need to just restart again today, Father, give us the grace to do so. And Father, let us encourage one another, because my kids are like nobody else's, and their kids are like nobody else's either. And Father, we don't know what it's like to walk in other people's shoes directly, but we can imagine. So be mindful, Father. Please help us to pray for one another. Remind us that that mom or that dad may be going through something that they just need our support and our encouragement. And let us be that person who lifts them up in prayer and encourages them, maybe even steps in to let mom and dad have a break. Let us not forget that sometimes that's what families need, is just somebody to watch the kids while they go out to dinner. Let us be that family that they don't have here, that we might encourage and strengthen and be a blessing. And in the process, Father, may you be glorified in the next generation that comes up in through this church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, you don't have to leave. There's more food. Go ahead and grab some more something to eat and fellowship tonight. Yes. Yes. And we have an award to give out tonight.